This is Christy Grainer, and I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast, where we are interviewing some of our friends about how they have dared to believe God in their life for great things and how He has been faithful to them. We want to challenge you to dare to believe God in your life. Hi, this is Christy Grainer, and I'm here with Rebecca Rybnik.
Hey, Christy.
We're excited about an event that's coming up soon. We love to get together once a year to celebrate what God is up to through this ministry and with this ministry.
That's right. We've got our annual Dare to Believe Gala coming up on December 14th at the Steeples Center in Rosemount.
The Steeples Center in Rosemount.
Not the Staples Center, the Steeples Center.
In Rosemount, Minnesota.
That's right. From 7 to 10, December 14th. And we are inviting you, our listeners, and our friends to come and celebrate with us about what God has been up to the last year here at Dare to Believe.
Mm-hmm. We'll be worshiping. We'll be eating a lot of really good food.
Oh, yeah.
Chef Neil is bringing our food, and it's so good. Josh Edwards is leading our worship times and some Christmas music singing since it's the 14th of December, and it's just a great environment. People can get some ministry, too, if they want it,
right?
That's
right. We'll have prophetic ministry, dream interpretation, and healing ministry going on as well. So it's a party, and wherever we have a party, we like to have God show up, too.
So please join us December 14th at the Steeples Center in Rosemount. Hi, everybody. This is Christy Grainer. Welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. I'm here with Rebecca Rybnik.
Hey, Christy.
Published author.
That's right. Newly published author.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you tell everybody about your book?
Sure. We just jump right in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been writing a book for just over 4 years.
Four years.
Yeah.
That's longer than having four babies. You could have had four babies in that time. It's
duly noted.
Yes. Yeah. It probably feels like it.
It's been a long process.
Yeah.
It's definitely been a long, I actually, when I started, and it really started with, you know, one of those moments where I could see a problem and it grieved my spirit.
What
and
was
I brought
the problem?
Wow. Glad you asked. I realized I was exposed after 3 years of Bethel and being going around the world and seeing people healed and all sorts of miracles and wonderful things happening. I came back home and I was exposed to a bunch of believers who just didn't know that God wanted to heal. They didn't know how to go after it. They didn't know.
So they knew the Lord. They
loved the Lord. Great people.
Okay.
People I've learned plenty of things from. Definitely, you know, people I respect, but they just didn't know. And that's really where I was, you know, 15. Yeah, I've been healthy 12 years. So just anywhere after 12 years ago, that's exactly where I was. I knew the Lord, but I didn't know that He healed. I didn't know how to go after it. I didn't know how to walk that out. So I was really grieved by that. And I sat with the Lord and I was like, God, what are you going to do about that?
Would you please fix those people?
Yeah, like, can you, like, this hurts my heart that they just don't know.
Good people who could have this flowing through
great
their life.
Great people.
Don't understand that.
Yeah. And it's not just these individuals. It's something I see throughout the church in general. It's pretty common that we don't have a grid for healing, don't understand if it's God. We don't even know if it's God's will to heal. And then we say things like, well, God gave me cancer so that I learned XYZ. We say stuff like that all the time. It's just these phrases that are sprinkled into our Christianity.
And you know, there's some truth to the fact that God will take something bad and bring good out of it. And I think people get that a little
bit
mixed up. He didn't give it to you so that you'd have this good come out of it, but He will bring good out of something.
I have a whole chapter on that. Yeah.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's just kind of realizing that this is common and pandemic throughout most of organized Christianity, at least in the States. And I was asking God, I was like, what are you going to do about this? And He's like, yeah, what are you going to do about this?
I've showed you the problem.
Yeah, and that's a great thing.
You carry the solution because you carry the gift of healing and you carry a history of seeing healings over and over and over again.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times we're wondering, what is our destiny? What's the call in our life? And it's really, what is the problem you can see? Where is your heart being broken? And if you can recognize something, you have compassion, you have love, that's probably what you're called to step into. So I started doing some training and teaching and wrote that out. And I wrote it out very specifically to be welcomed in places where people were apprehensive about healing and had maybe seen some abuses of some of the gifting mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit. So I wanted them to feel really, really safe and point out from the scriptures where I was going, not deviate from that, so they felt safe and comfortable. So I wrote out maybe a 10-page outline and showed it to a few pastors, being like, this is what I'll teach. I won't deviate from this, so that you feel really safe knowing what you're going to get. And so I was doing that for a while, and then one day the Lord's like, well, it looks like you have a book outline there.
That's cool.
I was like, oh, yeah. So I was like, sure, I can write a book. Totally. Not even hard. I can do that in 4 months. So it's been about 4 years, a little over 4 years.
I think it's remarkable that you got the book finished. I have been to the outline phase of a few books, and they just sit there. I can't move myself past that because it's such a big undertaking. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
That is a lot of work, and it is kind of, I wouldn't say gut-wrenching, but you're pulling at the deepest parts of who you are and putting it out there for the world to see, and it is challenging.
It's vulnerable. Yeah, there's
vulnerable. That's
very
the word.
There was a lot of times where I would just write something like, I don't know if I can have anybody see this, and then you think like, what if they don't like it? How will they respond? But you get past that at some point, and I get to do this unto the Lord, and I'm so grateful that He put me in a situation where I was able to really focus on this the past few years and have had great encouragement and support around me. Learned a ton, learned a lot of what not to do, learned how to do it. And I actually have a degree in communication. So it's within my skill set that I've learned. But
And I have to say, you do write very well.
Thank you, Christy. I love the way
you write.
Thank you.
People will enjoy reading this. And I would say, if there's anybody who is frustrated with the state of things, that why are they sick, or why have they not gotten a breakthrough, or why is there someone they love or care about hurting and not getting a breakthrough, or how can they learn? They know there's more to the faith than they're walking in, and they want to know how to get that. Mm-hmm. You explain very well how they
Thank
could
you.
Grab onto that and move forward. So it's almost like a person who's in that place where they want more are being coached by you as they read the book to get that more. And so, if they choose not to read it, that's okay, because they will just stay where they are, but they can grab more and be coached by you in a way on how to get that more.
Well, thank you.
Take it a step at a time.
You know, when you write, you're told to have a target, like avatar in mind, and a specific person. You'd be as detailed as you can.
Avatar?
Yeah, that's not quite like the movie, but as in a created person with personality.
So
with
kind of imagine who you were writing to.
That you're supposed to have a specific person you're writing to. And I was being told that. I was like, oh, that was easy. I'm writing to me. I'm writing what I wish I had 15 years ago. That was a no-brainer. It's exactly what I wish someone had given me.
So describe that person.
Sick. First off, I was fighting a lot of really strong physical challenges at the time, which we talked about in an earlier podcast episode. And I loved God, but was thinking that being sick was what I was going to get in life. I didn't really have hope or an expectation for any change. I thought that the more I nobly suffered was somehow to God's great glory. It was
so
my
you
cross
knew the
to
Lord.
Carry. Oh, yeah. I loved the Lord.
And your faith, but you just had the understanding that it was your lot in life and you would be a sick person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No hope for change. And I should have led with this. The book is called Hope. That's the name of it.
That's a good title.
Yeah. My editor actually came up with it. I was thinking different titles, and she said, when I finish reading your book, this is what I'm left with. So it's called Hope, A Practical Guide to Praying for Healing. But I didn't even know that God healed today or in the United States, and I didn't have expectation for it. And if somebody said that, there would be all sorts of questions I had of why that shouldn't happen or why it shouldn't happen to me. So I went through each chapter addresses one of those questions that comes up. Like, is it God's will to do it this time? What if this is my cross to carry? What if somebody prays for healing and they're not healed?
Those are all chapter titles.
Not specific. That's not quite their title, but chapter topics. That's right. Yeah. So it's fun and interspersed with a lot of fun testimonies, and I've just seen God do amazing things. And It's so easy. It's just because you just are just rest in him. It's just, it's him. And I draw the comparison at one point, the parallel between when you lead someone to Christ, it's just, you connect them to Jesus. The same for healing. I don't need to heal somebody. I have no idea how to heal anybody. I just wrote a book on it. I'm very sure I don't know how to do it. But I do know how to connect people to Jesus. And that's it. That's where healing comes from. So that's really it in a nutshell. And through it, knowing that God is, he's such a good father. He's so on our side. He's so for us that Jesus is a representation of the Father. He is what he looks like. And he healed everyone who came to him. There are zero exceptions to that. Every single person that came to Jesus for healing was healed. He never said no. He never said it's not your time. He never said I'm doing something bigger in your life through this. This is your thorn. He never said that. He just healed. So that's my expectation. That's what I'm aiming for.
So do you address the Bible verse where Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh?
Yeah,
so
I do.
You do address that in one of the
chapters. I do. That's a tricky one.
Yeah.
But again, it's any conclusion we can draw about the Father we can't see in the life of Jesus is a wrong conclusion. That's okay. A Bill Johnson quote right there. But
yeah.
It's you have to look back at Jesus and what is he demonstrating? What is the intent of the Father? How do we see the Father at work? And then interpret the scripture through that lens, not through our own pain and suffering. And it's a whole lot easier, I'll be honest, Christy, it's so much easier to believe that God doesn't heal today than it is to believe that God does heal but be chronically ill or not have received healing or still walking it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard place to be, to live in that tension. So it's a lot easier to draw conclusions that God doesn't want to, or he's not going to, or I need this for some reason. It's a lot easier to live there than it is to live in that tension. But that's not it. And actually, I was reading Luke 18 this morning, and Jesus, I love how he says it in the Passion Translation, which I don't have in front of me. It's like, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but he's like, in telling you this parable on when to give up on prayer or when to lose hope, Jesus says never, and he tells the story of the persistent widow.
Uh-huh.
And he's pretty much says, like, when do you stop praying for something? When do you stop going after it? When do you lose hope and give up? And then he tells the story of the woman who goes to the evil judge day after day after day demanding justice. And finally, because the evil judge is annoyed, he gives her justice. So he says, how much more your heavenly Father who loves you, will he be out there fighting, advocating, working on your behalf? So it's just a never give up. Like a never give up speech.
So foundational to what you talk about in the book, the entire book, is the foundational truth that God is good.
Right.
Yeah. And if someone has a different perspective of the Lord, they'll probably be frustrated with your book because God is a good God. And
Probably wouldn't be for them.
Yeah.
But
anyone that does understand that God is for them, mm-hmm. and God wants better things for them, is going to be blessed by this book.
Which innately, I think we want to know that God is good, that he's on our side, that mm-hmm. he's not just a bigger version of a taskmaster or dictator.
Right.
But that he's a kind, loving father.
And you know that God. Mm-hmm. You know him well. And you just describe yeah. that relationship in your book very well.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
And so the book is now in print, and it's on sale.
It is
for sale on Amazon.
It's for sale on Amazon, yeah. You can search for my name, Rebecca Ripnick, or the title is Hope, A Practical Guide to Praying for Healing. Or you can go to my website, which is RebeccaRibnick.com, and we'll direct you there. So
that's very good. Or you can link it to her probably through our website. If we don't have that up, we'll have to get it up.
Yeah, we'll get that up.
We'll get that up on Dare to Believe's website.
Right. Right. So I'm excited about that. It's fun. It's scary to put yourself out there. It definitely is very vulnerable, and it's easy to look at things from the world's eyes and say, like, how's this going to do, or how many book sales or reviews or this or that? And I don't, you know, a right word in the wrong season is a wrong word. I'm praying that it goes to the right people at the right time.
Well, and what occurs to me as you're talking about that is I think it's a lot like Kim Walker Smith and Jesus Culture. A lot of people know who Jesus Culture is now. Mm-hmm. There's a church, there's a record label, they put on however many CDs, not records. Maybe they have some records too, but
I think they call them albums.
Albums,
actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
but they set out to just worship the Lord with a bunch of teenagers. That's what they did.
Yeah.
And someone captured it, and it went viral. And I think there's something similar. And they never planned out a marketing plan. The Lord took it, and He was their marketing plan.
Yeah.
And when we trust Him, it's a different way of living. And it's not that you don't do those things, those good marketing plans. That's wise. That's being wise.
Right.
But it doesn't go anywhere. No matter what you plan, it doesn't go anywhere if the Lord's not on it.
Absolutely.
And you've been very faithful to stay connected to the Lord and listen to Him.
Thank you, Christy.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what He does with this. And then you're also still editing the electronic copy, the ebook.
That's right. That should be out next week.
Next week?
It'll be out. That's the plan. It's next week. And then we're hoping to do an audio book too. So you can hear this voice for another, I don't know, 14 hours or whatever it takes. Yeah. So that'll be fun. But I recognize that print or books, they live long beyond a human lifespan. Like I, a couple of weeks ago, I was reading a book by Agnes Sanford, who's a hero of mine. And she died 40 years ago, maybe something like that, 50 years ago.
Way before you were born.
Way before I was born. Mm-hmm. And her words, her written words are just still, she was a healing revivalist, kind of a forerunner in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And she's just, I'm so inspired by her.
And, you know, I love that that helps us to talk about something that's coming up. But we investing in the generation that you will probably never meet is a powerful kingdom principle, very powerful. And we have a new season of podcasts that are coming up, and we'll talk about that. But one of our interviews is with Steve DeSilva, who is the CFO, was for 21 years, of Bethel and Reading, and talking about how you manage finances in this kind of environment and how you plan out and how you invest. And he does something, he has a teaching that we didn't talk about a lot, but it's called Praying It Forward. And the Lord,
I've heard him teach that before.
Oh my goodness, it's wonderful. And he talks about investing and don't just pray about today, pray about tomorrow. And then the Lord stretched him, why not 5 years from now? Well, why not 50 years from now? And why not, you know, 100 years from now for people you'll never meet? Why aren't you praying into that? So that the kingdom, because Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and just start praying for that. So in a very real way, what you're doing with your book is investing in generations you'll never meet. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's, you know, it's what Jesus did. He took 12 people and said, this is a pretty good strategy.
And then he left.
And he's like, bye. And then he's like, bye. Yep. Okay, good. This looks good. Bye, guys.
You got it. Yeah, you got it. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Although left us with his spirit, which is the whole deal.
Right, but, right. There was, and there was more than just 11, 12 people that believed in him. But
it changed the world.
It did change the world. And that's the kingdom is always coming in like leaven. It always comes in small and it grows. It's always the little seed in the garden that grows.
That's so good.
We just get to be a part of that. And I think there's wisdom, there's maturity, there's grace when you can recognize where you sow in. And I mean, I definitely ask the Lord for fruit to keep me going. Like, just, I want to be encouraged by what's happening. I definitely need some testimonies. We actually have a page at the end of the book and a link on my website just to record testimonies. I just want to hear what God's done in people's lives, because that's what's going to keep me going, is I'm going to feast on these testimonies. And see, wow, God is doing stuff, and that's going to give me energy. I don't know which proverb it is, but one says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a prayer answered is a tree of life.
Or desire realized is the tree of life.
Yeah. So it's those answers to prayer are actually ways I can feast and eat from the tree of life and recognize what God is doing and be encouraged to keep going, keep running after more.
So how does that feel to have a desire realized right now? Does that feel life-giving to you to have a book in hand?
I think I'm a little too tired to know yet how I feel, and we're still working pretty hard to get the ebook all finished
up. Just so
the
listeners know, it's been very exciting, and it's been a little bit hard for Rebecca to sleep the past few nights.
I think it's
a little bit of adrenaline pumping in your system. It's like when you have a baby. You literally have just had a baby.
I've always been a little afraid that when it comes time to be a parent, I will not function on the sleep. Like, the sleep deprivation is terrifying as somebody without children. I think a lot of people think like, oh my goodness, how will I do it? They are not sleeping. There's grace. There's adrenaline. There's grace. When you're in season, when you're in the right season, you can do whatever's before you.
Well, you're going to sleep great tonight.
Amen. I receive that.
And you know, the sleeping piece, I was reading one of Bill Johnson's newest books, and I can't quote it. here we are without it in front of us, but we're just having a casual conversation. And he talks about how if people were resting better and sleeping better at night, their lives would just run better.
That's true.
And I thought, well, that's a great quote. I'm going to remember that because this October we're bringing Faith Blatchford
yep.
here from Bethel. And she's written a book on how to gain back the night. And so we're going to be talking about how to rest better at night and how to sleep better at night and take care of your body, because it's really, I mean, businesses are losing millions of dollars because their employees aren't sleeping. You know, it's taking its toll on our health.
Sleep
is huge.
It's taking
toll on our finances. And it's taking toll on our dreams, which is my passion. Mm-hmm. And so you aren't going to dream if you're not sleeping well either. And so we want to talk about gaining back our revelation we receive from the Lord through dreams. And so we're going to be doing a conference on that in October of 2019.
That'll be
so
awesome.
We're excited about that.
Yeah. And that's actually another earlier episode. You can look back and find one of the early on episodes with Faith Blatchford.
Yeah, I think she's our fourth or fifth.
Somewhere right around
podcast.
There, yeah.
So speaking of that, congratulations to us. This is our 24th episode.
Cheers, Christy.
Yeah, cheers.
Well,
our first episode came out on January 17th of 2018, so we're still under a year.
Come on.
But not that we had some recorded ahead of time, so we recorded those earlier than that. But our first one actually went up on the internet January 17th, 2018.
Come on, that's awesome.
That is fun. 24 episodes.
Yeah.
So we started out by talking kind of like
this. That's a dream realized.
Isn't it a dream realized?
We just had a little conversation one day and it turned into something.
Oh, I think it's really funny because I felt like the Lord had told me a few things. Sometimes Gary and I go away and we just spend time trying to get rid of the distractions so we can hear the Lord better. And you can hear the Lord in daily life, but it's a good practice to go away mm-hmm. from your normal life and the busyness. And I had been doing that and praying and spending time with the Lord. And I felt like he told me there's two things that we're going to work on. One was getting more uploaded onto our website as far as classes are concerned. And we're working on that one. And the other was podcasts. And I just knew that that's a great idea, Lord. And I know nothing about either one of those. So I trust you to send me the people. And I was praying that just the people would come because I knew it was truth. I just didn't know how it was going to walk out. And I think it was, I don't know how many months later, several months later, you and I were having coffee and you brought me a 2-page proposal on why it would be a good idea for Dare to Believe to do a podcast.
Which I worked on for a while. Did some research and
Yeah, probably some really good facts and figures in there, but I get it. I know. And you are the one then, if you are willing, if you felt called. And I think that's how our callings can come, mm-hmm. is the Lord put something on your heart that he'd already, something in you that we had a real need, and you fit that spot and you've done so well. So thank you.
Yeah, thank
you. It's exciting.
Yeah. For our listeners, Christy didn't even hear out my list of why we should do it. I was like, Christy, I think we should have a podcast. She goes, great.
Don't you
want to hear this? Don't you hear why?
Do you even have that 2-page document?
No, I don't know where that would be.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of good stuff you had in there. But so then we begin by you and I talking, and that was fun. We talked about your testimony. So I think that's the second
interview.
It's hearing all about Rebecca's miraculous healing, which is so cool. And then our third person was Donna De Silva, powerful mm-hmm. woman of God.
Yep.
And the woman who, she and her partner, Teresa Liebscher, formed the Sozo Ministry. So that was really cool. But just Donna is a powerful woman of God and a pastor and a neat lady. And then we had Faith Blatchford talking about sleep and mm-hmm. regaining sleep so that you can rest in your life and be yep. more productive in every area of your life. It was fun because we changed a little bit to interviewing Tom Zawacki. Do you remember Tom? The one, Tom Zawacki from New York originally?
Yeah, actually, I wasn't in on those interviews. There's a few, like about maybe half you did while you were traveling.
Yeah.
So I got to hear that the first time when I was editing it.
Some of the on the road.
Yeah, on the road with Christy.
Yeah, actually, that was a very cool interview because we were in New Hampshire at the Pinnacle, which is a mountain that was given to John Paul Jackson where there's 24/7 prayer that goes on up there, and it's just a really cool place. And the Zawackis and some other friends of ours, we all rented an Airbnb, and we went up to the mountain and prayed and worshiped and just spent time up there. Well, So we were, this is one of the early podcasts, so we were sitting in a little Airbnb interviewing Tom, but it came out pretty well.
Yeah.
So some of those on the road ones are fun.
Yeah, definitely. They're always fun for me because I wasn't there the first time around, so it's all new.
Yep. And then we interviewed Brian Fenimore on Hearing the Voice of God, and Josh Hoffert, who is another person that I know from Streams Ministries. Josh was the regional director, the director of Streams Canada when John Paul was alive. Mm-hmm. So he's a pretty cool guy.
And that's actually one of our most popular episodes, I think, because he talks about going out to Burning Man and he has some pretty cool stories about what's happened there. So I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
It's always about testimonies. It's always the stories that keep us engaged and get us excited about what God's doing and what could happen. And I love listening to testimonies because I'm thinking like, wait, okay, if that's a good idea. You know, I remember hearing at Bethel that something we see a lot in California, Bethel, Redding, California, is metal dissolving in people's bodies.
Yeah.
Or I don't know where it goes. Like they'll do another x-ray and it's just not there anymore. Like rods and screws and even all sorts of wire mesh and stuff.
And it actually is gone.
It's just gone. Yeah. I don't know what happens, but you know, that can cause a lot of pain and obviously stiffness and whatever. But what had happened is somebody came through, I don't remember who it was, came and was telling some testimonies about metal dissolving from people's bodies. And the whole front row, like the senior leadership team, was like, huh, we never thought to pray for that before. But if God's doing it through this person, he'll do it through me. And then they started praying for it. It's something that we see really common.
Have you ever seen that?
Quite a few times, yeah.
Tell us a story of testimony of when you've seen metal disappear or anything. Tell us a good testimony.
Well, now I'm thinking of a different one. We were talking about one earlier, and there's one in my book of that. But I was at a Cracker Barrel in Indiana or Nebraska or somewhere in there, Kansas maybe, somewhere in the middle. And we were with a team from Bethel, and there was a couple of European kids that were on our team, like young, early 20s, late teens, early 20s. And they were pretty excited to go to a Cracker Barrel because it was a brand new experience for them. They thought it was incredible.
Did they?
Yeah, they loved it. And they were just talking to the woman that worked there in the gift shop part. And they asked her if she had elbow pain. And she said she did. And they asked me
because
if they
had a word of knowledge.
They had a word of knowledge. That, they did that she had elbow pain. Mm-hmm. They prayed for her elbow and it didn't change at all. There was no improvement. But then she's like, well, this is weird. My neck's moving really well. And she goes up and she tries to find these screws that were in her neck and she can't feel them anymore.
Wow.
So she's like, she keeps turning her head in a way that she couldn't before. And that wasn't even what they were praying for. We call that a ricochet prayer. Just the presence of God. Just that's what happened.
And she couldn't find the screws.
She couldn't find the screws.
But she had been able to feel them before.
That's right.
Externally. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm, that is crazy.
But now that I'm telling that, I'm wondering if they prayed for her neck and the screws have been in her elbow. One or the other now. But I do have a neck story. This is actually in my book. We were talking about this before. I have different stages of praying for stepping out and praying for people, particularly in public, where like times where I'm like, every person I see feels like somebody to pray for. And then there's times where I'm like, okay, God, can you really direct me? Or how do I rest in this? How do I not make people a target? And that's something I talk a lot about too, is you always want, I want love to be my aim and my love is it everything. If someone's not going to feel love, I actually tell people not to pray. Like that's, if they're going to just feel like a testimony or just a target, then you got to step back and reevaluate what your motivation is and get back before the Lord and just get his love for people. But I remember I was at this cafe and I was just reading this book. And there was a bunch of testimonies in this book that a friend of mine had written. And I thought, oh, okay, Lord, like I want to see some of this in my life. Would you just set me up? Would you just like hook me up, make it really obvious. And as I'm praying this woman is crowded, it's lunchtime. She asks if she can sit at the other end of this table that I'm at. And I'm like, sure, sure. And I realize she's got crutches. She's leaning on two crutches, like hand crutches. And I'm like, oh Lord, this feels pretty obvious. Like just set me up and here's this woman with crutches. So I finish my meal and I ask her, why she has the crutches. And she tells me this crazy story, how she was leaving her house one night. It was snowy and cold. She slipped on the ice, fell backwards, hit her head on the cement step behind her, broke her neck. And it was just crazy. There was like just a few people in the world that had survived and weren't paralyzed from that injury. She had multiple surgeries, and it was clear that like God had done a lot for her through this, but she still was in chronic pain. She had different bars and plates and things in place and was in regular physical therapy. And this had been a few years before that she had broken her neck. So I was like, okay, well, could I pray for you? Would that be all right? And she said, sure. You know, we had been chatting a little bit. I pray for her, and I just pray a really powerful, quick prayer, something like, Jesus, heal this neck, finish it. Thank you. Amen.
So nothing fancy or flamboyant.
No, I'm not going to convince God with my prayers. He already decided and demonstrated that at the cross. So it's not my words that are going to do anything. And I asked her, I'm like, well, are you feeling anything? And she's like, I remember she kind of turned over. She was sitting next to me. She turns over and puts her hands on my shoulder and just kind of said, well, thank you. That was very, I feel a lot of peace, you know, like kind of a brush off. Mm-hmm. Like, how could I feel different from that really great prayer that you just, you know, shared? And she realizes that this time when she's telling me this, when she's brushing me off, she didn't turn her body, she turned her neck. Instead of turning her whole body to speak to me, which is how she was talking to me before, she had just turned her neck to talk to me. And it just hits her. She's like, wait a second, I can't move my neck like this.
I can't move my neck like I just moved it?
Yeah, and she starts turning her head left and right, and she's up and down, she's moving her neck, and she's like, I can't do this.
Because of plates because that were in her neck.
Right, she had two rods either side of her spine.
Oh my goodness.
She's like, I can't do this. So I'm like, well, it looks like you can. And so I just said, I was like, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Just more, Lord. And she, you know, got choked up and emotional. And she said she could, you know, really feel there was like, she said it was like bubbles in the back of her neck, like sparkle, like she had a carbonated drink. And she's like this, but all through my, like little bubbles all through the back of her neck.
And that's what she was feeling.
That's what she was feeling.
The healing was happening. Yeah. Wow. Did you ever find out if there was an x-ray or anything?
You know, I didn't. I didn't get to follow up with her.
Isn't that, yeah, sometimes you can, but a lot of times you can't because they're just chance encounters, or mm-hmm. not chance, but divine encounters, but right. They come into your life and then they're gone from your life. The Lord has just worked through you to touch them in a very real way.
Right. Yeah, which is fun. That was a really fun one. She was really moved, really touched. She's like, I'm supposed to go to physical therapy right now. I'm like, well, that's going to be a fun meeting.
It would have been cool to go see what.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then she got choked up again, though. She's like, I can't wait to go show my husband.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, because it's sickness and injury and illness. It doesn't just rob from the person. It robs from the family.
Yeah, that's true.
It robs from everybody around them.
And in this, the book of John, Jesus is quoted saying, you have an enemy who steals, he kills, he mm-hmm. destroys. So there's only one spiritual.
John 10:10.
Yep, John. There's only one spiritual being that steals, kills, and destroys, and it's not God.
That's right.
He gives life.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything that is getting closer to God is getting more life and more light in them, more of the light of God in them. Anything that is not of God is just getting the darkness and the things are stolen. But Jesus came to restore what the enemy stole.
Come on.
And so that's what people can have if they mm-hmm. learn to walk in healing, walk in all that God has for them. It's abundant life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a great question is to say, what did Jesus win for me at Calvary?
Yeah.
What do I have access to right now because of what he did?
Yeah. Was what he did enough to cover what I need?
Right.
And that's a big battle in itself sometimes for people to mm-hmm. realize he loves you that much.
Yeah.
And you might have messed up. He still loves you. He mm-hmm. still did it for you.
Yeah.
That's a remarkable thing for people to get in their heart.
That's right. Well, you can't qualify yourself to be loved by God. So you can't disqualify yourself either.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I'm really proud of you, Rebecca. That's cool.
Thank you.
This is good.
That was a fun one.
And so we have had a year under our belt of podcasts. I can't believe we're saying that, but we've had 24 episodes and we are in the process of recording our second season. So this is the last podcast from season one.
That's right.
Of the Dare to Believe podcast. Woo! What I would love to ask of our listeners is if you could give us a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast, if you could give us a rating, that will help us because we want these testimonies to get out to more people.
Yeah. And furthermore, actually testimonies would be great of how God's, that I would love that even more than a rating. Rating would be great. 5 stars wherever you're listening, Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever you do. But more than that, if you email us.
And we are also working on, I loved Rebecca's idea of capturing the testimonies on her website. And so we're going to steal that idea from her with her permission.
I give it freely.
Yes. Yeah. And put that on Dare to Believe's website as well so that you could give us a testimony of just what you've thought of the podcast and any suggestions you have as well. Who would you like us to interview? And start praying with us that we would be able to interview some of the people that would bring to you what you need for the breakthrough that the Lord has for you in your life.
Yeah, so we'd love that. We also just love to hear how God touched you or taught you, or if something somebody said sparked a healing or whatever it was. Right. We'd love to hear that. And even share some of those over the course of season two. So that will be a very fun inclusion to the next season.
Yeah, that's right. Let us know. So since you are in this exciting time of your life and releasing the book and having so many good things be released through your life, and would you just close us with prayer over our listeners for the next season of their life?
Yeah, I'd be honored to. And let me just shout out to Christy for all our listeners too. We are blessed here at Dare to Believe to just be under the leadership of Christy and Gary Grainer. And they take so much on and do it with such just confidence in God's goodness and God coming through them, and taking care of them. It's just really a unique leadership style that I haven't seen a lot anywhere, let alone even in ministry, unfortunately. So Christy, just thank you for your leadership.
Thank you. And you know what? God's faithful.
Yeah.
He is faithful. He's been faithful all along, and he's not going to stop being faithful.
It's one thing to say that. It's another thing to live it, and you really live it.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So to our listeners, thank you for a great first season, for making this podcast something that we can keep doing and we're excited about. And we just want to bless you and bless what you're coming into and bless the holiday season. I love this time of year. Because the atmosphere is just conducive for miracles. We have an expectation for God to work on our behalf, for miracles to happen. People who don't believe in God say a Christmas miracle or say something could happen. And I have that expectation for you, our listeners, that God is going to move mightily on your behalf this season, that he's out there and he's got great gifts to give you. And so, Father, we just agree with that. We agree that you have great things, that you withhold no good thing from your children, that you're full of wonderful things to give them. So, Father, we just bless our listeners to encounter you, the God of all good, the God of all great things. Yeah, Lord, we bless them to step further into their destiny, God. Yeah, I just see people shaking off things that are need to come off, old hurts, old disappointments, just and things that were good in the last season, just stepping out of them and stepping into the new. Yeah, Father God, we thank you that you don't do the next, you do the new. And you continually just change us and grow us so that we are at a greater capacity to carry your glory, the thing we were designed to do, represent you, look like you. Father, we bless everyone. We bless their holiday season. We bless them as they step into this new year. God, I thank you that destinies and callings are being released. We thank you that hope is being released over people. And it's just wrapped up in joy and in love. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so tell everyone one more time how they can get their hands on your book.
All right. The book is called Hope, A Practical Guide to Praying for Healing. And it's by me, Rebecca Ribnick. And you can find it either on my website, RebeccaRibnick.com. That's RibnickCom. Or go to Amazon. Amazon's probably the easiest place because they'll ship it to you. But you can get it on Prime. In 2-day mail, so great Christmas gift. But yeah, you can go there, check out the website, or at daretobelieve.info. Dare the number 2 believe.info.
And so we are finishing up our first season of the Dare to Believe podcast. Thank you for listening, and look for season two to start in several weeks. So blessings
in the
all.
New year.
In the new year.
In the new year.
Okay, in the new year. Sometime. We don't have the exact date, but it will be coming soon.
That's right.
Yeah. So blessings.
Listening to the Dare to Believe podcast. If you'd like more information on this podcast or upcoming events, please visit our website at daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Thank you and have a great day.